How do you think about the democratization that needs to happen of AI so that it really can benefit humanity and really particularly underserved communities?
Societies need to think of AI as a new set of capabilities, the same way internet was, or mobile phones were, or simply cars and transportation were. And these capabilities need to be made available to all citizens in every country. So The role of thinking of AI as a public good remains in the hands of institutions, organizations, government, communities to make sure that they adopt mechanisms with elected officials, with governments, with different legislative capabilities to really make it available to everyone with safety, with responsibility.
Welcome to Stay Cognizant, our podcast about the people, ideas, and technology that will help you get ahead and stay ahead. I'm Pamela Axtell. Hello and welcome to Stay Cognizant. Today we are thrilled to have Amir Benefitemi join us. Amir is a globally renowned thought leader in the responsible AI space with more than 25 years of experience in really thinking about how transformative technologies like AI can be leveraged by enterprises to impact society in significant ways. And we're very lucky at Cognizant to now also have Amir as our Chief Responsible AI Officer. Amir, before we dive into our conversation, can you share a little bit about your role and exactly what it entails?
Thank you very much, Pamela, and excited to be here. Yes, my role recently as joining Cognizant is to be the Chief Responsible Officer. And the role is to ensure that Cognizant develops and delivers AI solutions that are, of course, ethical, trustworthy, and aligned with human values. This involves embedding responsible AI properties and principles like fairness, transparency, safety, and scalability into every aspect of our AI development and client solutions. And I should oversee the establishment of the Responsible AI Office at Cognizant, which will be focusing on governance frameworks, risk mitigation, and building a culture where we can deliver responsible AI as second nature to our teams and clients. Naturally, responsible AI, as its name implies, is about being responsible with innovation and technology. We like to make sure that it also aligns with our clients' value, societal value and regulations, but also we deliver trustworthy and reliable solutions that can count on and run businesses.
So there are so many things that, you know, I want to dive into with you, but I want to start by going back to something you said kind of early on in that last response, which was you talked about these key principles. What can you unpack that a little bit? What are some of the key principles that guide you as you think about, you know, really making sure that all of the AI systems that Cognizant is responsible for are developed and deployed ethically and responsibly? What does that set of, you know, principles look like?
The principles that we have adopted at Cognizant are akin to the rest of the market, naturally, in terms of the ethics. Making sure that systems are built and designed ethically, that are delivered in privacy context, that are fair, that are transparent, that are explainable, and are reliable are important. So this is the set of guidelines that most industry players and service providers and companies are adopting. Ethics also is a foundation for safety, which is not usually talked about. We do talk about safety in general, but we believe at Cognizant that safety is the most important mechanism when armed with ethical principles to really provide the foundation for trust. We cannot really scale applications, right, if they're not foundationally built with trust in them and with ethical principles and with transformative approaches. So this is the part that we engage. At the same time, AI is not just about creating solutions that are ethical and principled, is also about transformation. So by providing solutions that are natively trustworthy, we also believe that our companies and our clients can also deliver solutions that could actually help them transform their businesses. And that transformation will carry with it this responsible behavior that we think are implementing in our solutions. So this, for us, responsibility is not just about a set of principles, is a set of behaviors that we can implement in our systems, and that behavior actually help businesses thrive by having them embedded as a DNA.
So how do you strike that balance, right? I mean, on the one hand, you're talking about innovation, right? I mean, that's really such a huge part of why companies want to take advantage of AI. And at the same time, there's a risk management that has to be a piece of it, especially considering how, you know, global regulations and frameworks continue to unfold and provide more and more ways to, you know, protect, you know, people in terms of how AI is being used. How do you strike that balance and not make those two things at odds with each other, but actually make them both parts of a better whole that relates to how we implement AI?
Well, first we implement it internally and before we help our clients. The balance is between making sure that we align with regulatory frameworks that are here to protect individuals, organizations, society as a whole. There are different based on disciplines and verticals that we deal with, for instance, in financial services, in healthcare, in manufacturing. There are different regulatory forces that we align with.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in the general government framework, the EU AI Act is an example that we align with, and we implement our systems to be coordinated and in adherence with those. But also, we look at other frameworks from different countries in Asia, in the US. But having those principles aligned with regulatory forces does not mean that we don't look at other aspects of transformation, which is about data governance, making sure that there is no biases, models are playing, are framing properly. We do about training and literacy. So the balance is about making sure that these two forces are not contradictory, but complementary with each other. So we design our systems to be compliant to begin with, from a design and development perspective. As mm-hmm. we deploy them, we make sure that we monitor and test solutions to still remain aligned, not only with regulatory requirements and standards, but also with our own principles. And when they're deployed, the goal is to have assessments of AI systems to remain compliant on all the aspects that we mentioned, not mm-hmm. just regulatory principles, but also the technical framework and the standards. And as things evolve over time in different disciplines, we need to keep an eye on all of them and keep making sure that our system continuously behaves that way. So there's an aspect of ongoing monitoring and update that was not common before, but with AI, we have that update.
So let's talk a little bit about AI for good. I imagine given, you know, all the different places that you have influence from an AI, you know, responsibility perspective, that Cognizant and, you know, has a role to play. I'm curious, you know, from your perspective, you know, what is Cognizant doing, or what will we be doing to help our clients really think about AI as it relates to sustainability and reaching their ESG goals? And how do the AI for Good initiatives kind of, you know, guide us and bring that together?
AI for Good today is a well-developed concept across many countries. I think the moment I was involved in that movement many years ago, 8 years ago, when the Sustainable mm-hmm. Development Goals were first published, which is a wonderful framework with the 17 goals to really articulate and explain how we look at different global challenges and what indicators of progress we can align to measure that progress. So AI plays a huge role in prevention, in understanding, in pattern recognition, in mitigation, in many different areas. For instance, it could be used for climate prediction, it could be used for poverty mitigation, it could be used for predicting outbreak of certain diseases, it could be helping with job upskilling. So mm-hmm. in that case, I think AI for Good has now been demonstrated at having a strong momentum. What Cognizant is doing really on AI for Good is twofold. One is to engage with clients and partners that are NGOs, organizations that are governmental, or those actors that have an impact on AI for Good, really to accompany them and help provide our solutions to be designed that way.
Mm-hmm.
Second, we also work with a number of organizations such as the United Nations to align our effort. And we have a few projects right now working with the United Nations on resiliency of decision making to make sure that every country, every city, every community that may or may not have the AI skills will still be able to leverage decision-making helped with AI. And we are basically doing this as an open source effort, as a public service. Finally, we have a program called Cognizant for Good, mm-hmm. which incentivizes all the employees of Cognizant really to volunteer and spend time on a variety of topics to help global challenges. And we're forming partnerships now with UN agencies and a number of organizations that have foot on the ground to really help literacy, such as helping young girls to learn to code and to be literate. And we try to do a marketplace of matching between Cognizant mm-hmm. volunteers that want to do good and the AI for Good programs at the same time. So there are a few examples of how we engage AI for Good. At the end, Cognizant is a company that cares about the impact of AI on people and communities and human empowerment. And we try to do as much as possible to provide literacy and knowledge sharing and disseminate the knowledge that we acquire to the rest of the world, either directly or through our employees.
I want to talk a little bit more about our clients. And I wonder how much you can share about some of the specifics relative to AI governance and risk management frameworks that our clients are implementing. And how does Cognizant help them not only do that, but really navigate the regulatory landscape as it continues to evolve? What kind of I imagine it's a consult, build, prognosticate, look ahead, look back, how do we manage all of that with our clients? And what are some of the specific ways that that's coming to life?
The first step that we have taken is to take the global regulatory framework and implement it in our responsible AI framework. Mm-hmm. You see the principles of responsible AI that we have adopted, like fairness, privacy, ethics, are implemented into responsible AI framework. That framework is pretty much a life cycle of AI design and deployment that we employ when we face building AI solutions. So the regulatory framework and the governance and risk aspect that we understand and take into account, and we voluntarily participate in many of these forums to understanding and to implement it, is part of our responsible AI framework. And that framework also leads itself to a responsible AI platform that are consisting a number of tools. Those tools, for instance, include something such as a bias detection that help solutions to alert when there is a drift or a bias in decision making. It contains tools or agents such as explainability agents, where anytime you are faced with a decision or information, you can ask the system to explain itself to make sure that it aligns with human values. So in addition to implementing regulatory frameworks, what is important is that we are integrating all of these elements in terms of lifecycle, workflow processes, and tools into a platform. We call this platform the Trust Platform, Cognizant Trust Platform. Mm-hmm. which is going to be announced soon. And this platform is actually the way we help clients and partners where to engage into implementation of AI solutions.
I want to spend a little bit of time now talking about some of the things that you are involved in outside of Cognizant, one of which is the AIX Prize. Maybe first you can also share for anybody that's not familiar a little bit about what that is and how it works. And then I wonder if you can share, how your experience leading AIX Prize has, brought any lessons into your current role about AI innovation and developing it responsibly.
The AIX Prize was the opportunity that I mentioned earlier about 8 years ago, when the first time XPRIZE was thinking about launching a global competition. XPRIZE is a nonprofit organization that mm-hmm. launches, designs and launches global challenges, challenges that are a bit ahead of time, that helps us understand the future. And by inviting and crowdsourcing innovation, mm-hmm. right, through the mechanism of an incentivized prize, identify new pathways to solve those grand challenges. So in 2016, when the Sustainable Development Goals were published and the AI was actually becoming mainstream, the opportunity was to talk about what can AI solve in terms of the grand challenges. And the AIX Prize was the first response to that. And about 9,000 submissions were received, and out of this, 140 wow. were actually finalists. When we looked at that, and at that time I was helping XPRIZE launch this challenge, designing and launch it and operated as well. We looked at all these submissions from across the world, about 50 countries. We saw that In fact, proposals of AI for X became AI for good because all the proposals were matching the sustainable development goals. People are talking about detecting malaria through satellite imagery or finding how to understand the bees' extinction from the bees' dances, or how to actually prevent bullying of young girls in chat rooms. So when you look at all these proposals, those proposals were really indicators of how AI can actually have a first pathway of understanding problems, but also through their design of using data and prediction capabilities to help us frame, understand problems, and sometimes mitigate those problems. This was a very strong lesson because as part of that, we created the AI for Good Global Summit with the International Telecom Union, ITU, which is now an ongoing event every year called AI for Good Global Summit. And then in that summit, we tried to capture and invite from the world all these different experiments about AI for Good. And thousands of them since that have been demonstrated. So the experience really formed the foundation to understand that to implement AI for good, it needs to be responsible, it needs to be governed properly, it needs to be disseminated, but also we need to connect the dots between research, industry, and NGOs and those who are in the field try to deploy those solutions, because solutions don't deploy by themselves. Mm-hmm. And having a responsible foundation is a necessary, it's not sufficient, but it's a necessary element to really think that any solution that could be deployed is safe and respect human values and is privately preserving and is ethically designed, because this is the only condition that we need to have at least when we deploy those solutions. And nonprofit organizations like NGOs and others that are trying to deploy AI for good solutions need to be preserved right from the risk that AI can provide. So these are some of the lessons learned from the AI for Good experiment. The AI for Good is a global phenomenon now. Many organizations are deploying solutions. Congress is doing it as well.
Yeah.
And this is an ongoing movement now.
So one of the other things that you've done is, you know, written so much about AI, and you've really emphasized quite a bit your vision of the societal impact that it can have. How do you think about the democratization that needs to happen of AI so that it really can benefit humanity and really particularly underserved communities? You know, I love the example you just shared about malaria detection as an example, you know, which tends to be a disease that is happening in, you know, countries that may have less access to technology or may have communities that don't, you know, aren't really utilizing AI the same way we're often talking about it with our Cognizant clients. What do you foresee there, and how do you think that can happen so AI really does become a force for good, not just in developed countries, but in communities that tend to be overlooked?
The answer to questions in multiple dimensions. The first dimension is societies need to think of AI as a new set of capabilities. The same way internet was, or mobile phones were, or simply cars and transportation were. Now we're having capabilities through AI tools that can help us understand, shortcut time, do new things. And these capabilities need to be made available to all citizens in every country. So the role of thinking of AI as a public good remains in the hands of institutions, organizations, government, communities to make sure that they adopt mechanisms with elected officials, with governments, with different legislative capabilities to really make it available to everyone with safety, with responsibility, in fact. So that is on the public side. From a research perspective, we're doing research, but the research right now is residing only in a few buckets. And that research is not necessarily taking into account all the problems that the world faces. So we're always looking at solving very complex scientific topics, but there are all many other social topics that need to be solved as well that can help. There are economic topics that AI can help. So find a way to connect the dot between underground and global challenge, and research is an important part. Then there is the industrial deployment, where AI is being framed as removing jobs and a threat to society. And then from that perspective, democratization is important because the more we can think of AI as an upskilling capability and not replacing humans, we force organizations to think that way and not try to take the easy way out of automating everything,
right,
but thinking about how humans can remain in the loop and how we can create new models and new services and new products and new approaches by empowering people. So the empowerment of individuals with AI is a topic. Finally, AI is thought as a common good, like water, electricity.
Mm.
It needs to be governed differently, because if we think it that way, we're going to think about a new set of capabilities that every human have access to. Access to is not having access to chatbots or computational, but also how we can actually live life with it. And what does it mean from a societal perspective, from a community, from a relationship perspective? Are we creating more isolation because people are going to give refuge to AI? Or going to empower people to use AI to get closer to each other? Family values. So there is a set of capabilities that this new age of intelligence is bringing to us that its democratization would mean really taking into account our humanity, how we evolve, and how this makes sense from economic perspective, from a growth perspective, from industrial complex, from a trade perspective. There are many, many dimensions. But first and foremost, I would say that AI is accompanying humanity as a new tool of intelligence, a new capability. So we're augmenting people. And that has responsibility attached to it. And how we should govern this should be first and foremost our first step.
I'm glad you talked about, you know, augmenting humans and not just replacing jobs and things like that in that response, because, you know, I know one of the other things that you do in your spare time is serve as an adjunct professor at several universities. And so you're really seeing, you know, what the next generation of talent looks like. And I wonder, what are some of the skills and knowledge that you think this next generation is going to need to be to develop to really be able to collaborate effectively with AI and help lead the future of how this technology gets deployed?
Well, for sure, future leaders need to be AI leaders too. I don't see a future where we live without AI. So The adage says that accountants will be replaced by accountants using AI, or doctors will be replaced by doctors using AI. So AI, future leaders would be future leaders with AI, which means that there is the need for a dual knowledge, right, base, which is technical expertise to some level. We cannot have everyone hyper-technical, but we need to have some level of understanding of how this technology is manifested itself, is used, is deployed, is governed, but also some domain expertise and societal knowledge. Leaders would have to have both, because now we are going through a transition phase where so many topics are going to be challenged again with the advance of AI, that understanding them require a little bit of foresight, but also a little bit of learning, and that literacy should be on both sides, on the technical skill, but also societal mm-hmm. skills.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'm trying to emphasize also in what I do in with students and with others, making sure that they do experiment, they do understand the impact of what they use, and try to connect the dots between how these tools actually are shaping society. Because at the end of the day, we as humans are living socially, and our interactions are important. So leaders need to understand the social construct and how we actually are working as a group, as a community together, for whatever purpose we're aiming and focusing on.
I want to close today by asking you a few questions that are, you know, a little more specific to some of the things that get talked about at Davos and as part of the World Economic Forum's programming throughout the year. And my first question is really about public-private partnerships. You know, you do work with AI Commons, you do work with GPAI. Obviously, public-private, you know, collaboration is a huge part of Davos. And, you know, I'm wondering, how do you see the public-private partnership writ large evolving around this notion of ensuring that AI is developed responsibly? How will those two, you know, sides of the coin need to come together?
There is really a benefit of private and public partnerships, because we bring separate capabilities to the table. I think the real opportunity is to have a shared journey and shared frameworks and shared stories for the future. We need to think about how we see the future together. The future is not only one, there are multiple futures for all of us. We all trying to have a set of narratives that drive our businesses and our goals. We sometimes compete or cooperate. We sometimes are redundant in our research and our effort, in our framings. So I think of a shared story and a shared framework is the foundation for this partnership to happen, to really bring together both sides of the coin. The private sector will basically, based on the mandate and the business model and their goals, will pursue what they're pursuing. And the public sector is the same way. If you can find a way to create a common pathway, I think that's what I'm trying to incentivize, and I think what we should be working on. And Davos is probably a good place to have some of these conversations to really encourage. We see many coalitions shaping up before or during Davos or after Davos. I think having some of these conversations, having responsibility as not as a goal, but as a mechanism by which we think about responsible innovation and how this innovation will permeate society. I think many people understand that, a lot of stakeholders understand that, but if you can find a way to compete less on framing problems, but collaborate more on finding solutions, that's going to be the goal.
I love that distinction. And, you know, building on that, the theme for Davos in 2025 is collaboration for the intelligent age. How can AI foster global collaboration, not only for some of the things we're talking about that happen inside of enterprises, but to solve the really complex challenges like climate change and economic inequality, you know, the types of things that get talked about at Davos? How can AI actually help that collaboration happen?
Again, I think the problems are framed properly. We know that what the challenges are, what the issues are. AI is not a panacea. It's not going to replace, right, human foresight and knowledge and collaboration. I think if we can AI to help us align and share knowledge and be fact-based and to use AI as a tool for coordination, I think that's going to be the best way to do so. Because we can use the capability that our minds, our limited minds, are not able to in terms of automation and sorting it through data that AI can help. I really think that the key is a planetary collaboration and a new narrative on solving problems. And forces for good needs to exist, right? Chasing the goals that we have are not merely enough, right, to solve for humanity and those global challenges. So naturally, if we can arm AI to learn and to help us sift through the knowledge that we have to leverage to solve problems and to find solutions, AI can be a force for finding solutions.
My last question, I know you'll be in the chalet, out of the chalet. I know you'll be at Davos having a lot of conversations about AI and about what Cognizant is doing. Share a little bit about what you think you'll be talking about. Maybe some of it is around some of the concrete steps Cognizant is taking, you know, as we ensure AI is both ethical and, you know, commercially viable at the same time. But what do you think are going to be some of the other things that everybody's going to want to talk about this year at Davos?
We're going to be talking a lot about agents, AI agents and agentic world. We're going to be talking a lot about misinformation and the fact that we need to have trust, and digital trust will be a big topic at Davos. I'm expected to be also surprised by new developments and new topics that will shape up. I also think that safety will become an important narrative. When I'm talking about safety, I mean safety of using AI and how AI can actually be safely used by humans in their daily decisions. That's another topic that brings naturally the concept of trust. And as our lives become more and more digital, where there is online or in person or in the metaverse, digital trust is a key topic. I think that could also bring together the notion of responsibility. And the fact that we want to think of the new wave of innovation to bring us to a better place of trustworthiness and human connection than less. So probably eliminating isolations of people would be a good topic.
Amir, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for taking time to be on Stay Cognizant today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Pamela.